This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome on into our Friday, April 11th edition of Sports Talk. It is beautiful outside, and hope you're enjoying the French Quarter Fest at some point this week. And if you're not there right now, hope you're tuned in to us here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking a 5:30 this evening. We got a short one as we got a big SEC baseball series coming up in Auburn as LSU there riding on a 9-game win streak, trying to extend that and get a nice important series win at Auburn. Lots to talk about there as we get ready for pregame coverage leading into that 6 o'clock first pitch. And all prepared to talk a little bit about Masters, a disappointing Pelicans game last night. And then NFL Network's Ian Rappaport drops a grenade on Sports Talk as we get ready to start the show. Seeing here on social media, guys, Ian Rappaport saying the Saints have suddenly a major quarterback question. Starter Derek Carr is now dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for this season. Sources say Carr's weighing his options, including the possibility of surgery. So now the, you know, thinking about who's behind Carr, obviously Spencer Rattler, Jay Kaner, we know there, even a guy like Ben DiNucci in the mix, I guess you could say. But maybe not so crazy to think about a quarterback in the first round for this team.
Yeah, I don't like that thinking. I really don't. No, and it's just because if you weren't going to draft a quarterback yesterday,
right?
I don't think the idea is you should draft a quarterback now because you need a quarterback to start.
No, I just feel it heightens the perception, at least.
I mean, I think I actually don't think it changes anything, because if you were going to draft a quarterback, it really didn't have to do with whether Carr was going to play this year or not. Right, it was about, do I think this guy is my quarterback? Now, you may need to go find a quarterback, right? Like, you may need to go find someone off the scrap heap, maybe trade for somebody.
Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Well, I mean, no, seriously. No, I think that's actually the conversation we need to be having. Not necessarily like, okay, if you weren't going to draft, if Shedeur Sanders was there at 9 and you weren't going to draft him yesterday, I don't think this changes that for you. If you were going to draft him yesterday, then yeah, that kind of impacts that decision probably a little bit in terms of, well, it's definitely a position of need. Now, my question is, where did the shoulder injury come from? Because it's not something that we knew about going into the offseason. He obviously had a fractured hand. Right. He had a shoulder injury the year prior, but we didn't hear about that all throughout the season. So, you know, the question becomes, where did it come from? When did this become an issue? When did this get communicated? Right? Now, the Saints converted his contract. They restructured his contract. I don't know if you do that if you're aware that this guy might need shoulder surgery. Right? I think that changes that equation. So I'm just curious. I'm sure there will be information coming out about this. But the timing is interesting. Coming out a week before the draft, that suddenly the guy that you have committed $40 million to may not be available. I don't want to go out there and say it's a power play, but it's the timing of it would lead you to believe, hey, this is a guy that definitely is not enamored with the situation, and suddenly now he has an injury. I don't know. There's a whole thing in play here. but you're going to have to figure out the quarterback question one way or the other. Now, is it a first-round quarterback? Is it a second-round quarterback? Is it a free agent quarterback? You know, do you kick the tires on Aaron Rodgers? Do you do something like that? One way or another, you know, this the ticking clock on that quarterback position definitely just sped up.
Well, after today, the other quarterback news this morning, scratch Joe Flacco off the list. He's back with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, like, you kind of look at them and like, oh, man, the Browns are building a loaded quarterback room of Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and, you know, what, Dorian Thompson-Robinson
no,
or whatever.
No, he got traded to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Well, Deshaun Watson is still in there, I suppose.
Right, he's in the mix.
And now it's like, man, if we were in that scenario, then Joe Flacco might have been a candidate. You know, if this had come out last week, it'd be like, who could they possibly go sign? Joe Flacco would be up on that list. It's definitely a thing. And, you know, Derek Carr is not the most popular quarterback around these parts, you know, in general, at least from a fan perspective. And now the conversation is going to shift to, is it worth even going down that road, right? If he's not available for the start of the season and you have to go to a Spencer Rattler, who I'd imagine it's Spencer Rattler,
right?
If you had to go to somebody and you're not signing a guy, I don't want to draft a quarterback and assume that's my week one starter. You know, we're not drafting
that's not
Cam
ideal,
Ward,
right?
So I think it's going to be Spencer Rattler. And if you're going to start the season with Spencer Rattler, and however that goes is however that goes, you start 1-5 and then Derek's available, do you even go back to him? I wouldn't. I think you kind of just lean into the skid, steer into the skid. So I don't know. There's going to be a lot of questions to answer. This is all obviously breaking as of like 18 minutes ago. So, yeah, well, we'll see.
Definitely threw a big surprise to us. Nice little curveball before we get into LSU baseball. the thing with Derek Carr, too, is we haven't heard or seen much of him. I know he did post recently on Instagram that he's in Italy with his family right now, enjoying vacation there. I just don't know how serious this issue is with the shoulder, but if it is threatening the season and he's talking about having surgery, it is pretty significant. And the fact, like you said, then where is this coming from and when did it happen?
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot that we don't know. You know, we don't even know which shoulder it is, right? You know, like, it could be his non-throwing shoulder. It could be his throwing shoulder. It could be the one that he hurt in week three against the Packers last year. We just don't know. So, you know, I don't want to speculate on exactly what the injury is because we just have no idea. But, you know, just the timing of it is so remarkable to think, like, oh,
just 13 days till draft.
Yeah, and I mean, all we've heard regarding Derek Carr is from Kellen Moore and Mickey Loomis saying, hey,
we're excited
to work with him, blah, blah, blah. He hasn't been here. We haven't seen him. You know, I'm sure he's been doing stuff this offseason. Trey's been rehabbing that hand, whatever. You know, I think it's interesting. We haven't heard anything about the hand, right? The fractured hand that was an issue. And now it's okay, we're into his shoulder. I don't know. If you end up in the scenario, like I said, where he's unable to go for training camp, he's unable to go for the start of the season, I don't know. You kind of feel like it's like just shut him down and move on. Like, that's how I would – that's the position I would be in. And we'll see how this develops. You know, maybe it is something that he is able to deal with and is here for the start of camp. But I don't know. It was always going to be a murky question to begin with of, do you draft a quarterback? How committed are you to Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Obviously, the money is going to be an issue, but it is what it is. If he can't play, he can't play.
There is another name to take off the free agent list at quarterbacks. Drew Lock signing with the Seattle Seahawks today as well.
Oh, shucks.
Well, you know the pile of QB arms out there isn't very enticing.
No, it's not very great. Maybe they get Andy Dalton back.
I know a guy like Easton Stick, who I think that at least Kellen Moore got to work with the Chargers, is available as well.
Carson Wentz, is he signed anywhere?
No, he's said, nah, we lost the Super Bowl with you around. Bye-bye. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We will get into some draft talk at 4:35. Nick Baumgartner, senior writer and NFL draft analyst at The Athletic, will join us. We'll also be getting to LSU baseball pregame coverage 5:30 right here on WWL. The Tigers at Auburn, number 3 at number 9. That is Tiger versus Tiger action, a 6 o'clock first pitch right here on WWL. Taking a break, coming back with more, so stay tuned right after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. If you weren't around for when we opened the show, the latest news, Derek Carr's status in doubt for the start of the 2025 season. Reports are he's dealing with a shoulder injury and could be considering surgery. So a interesting turn of events with just 13 days away to the NFL draft.
Yeah, and the Saints are scheduled to start their off-season conditioning program on April 14th. I wouldn't be
just
surprised.
3 days
if,
away.
Yeah, I would be surprised if that didn't have something to do with the timing of this. You know, if you remember last year, Tano Passanio got hurt during that conditioning program, cost him the majority of the season. He did come back, but he tore his Achilles in an off-season conditioning workout right at the facility. So we'll see. I would be stunned if we don't learn more about this pretty quickly. You know,
you mentioned last segment, it's still pretty fresh. We haven't had too many details.
Like 30 minutes old.
Well, the biggest detail, too, is it the throwing shoulder or not? That's a big detail we do not have right now.
Yeah, and we don't know whether this was a non-football injury, whether it's something that was lingering. That would obviously be a factor. We have a few people on the text line saying they're going to cut Derek Carr. They would not benefit from cutting Derek Carr. They would gain nothing this year, right? So I don't think that's really going to enter into the equation. You might put him on the non-football injury list if it's a non-football injury, but it would not save you from a cap perspective, and you're kind of just exactly where you are. And that's why, you know, as Charlie mentions, like I can't imagine a scenario that they knew about this prior to restructuring his contract.
Definitely
just wouldn't
not.
make sense.
It makes no sense, right?
Right. You would at least wait it out to see where it is, and then you would have had to figure out the salary cap either way. We can't have a normal offseason. The Saints are incapable of having just the standard, hey, ho-hum, let's get to it.
No, they make it exciting for us.
Gotta be something.
I'm going to go to our Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line real quick. You can sound off too, folks, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you think about the latest Derek Carr news. We're going to go to Ed in Abita Springs right now. What you got today, Ed? And happy Friday, by the way.
Happy Friday to you. Thank you, Steve and Jeff.
What's up?
Listen, I think this is a polite way of saying goodbye to Jeff Carr, to Mr. Carr, Derek Carr. I think it's a polite way instead of cutting him after June 1st. If he has an injury, sit out a season, have surgery, come back as a free agent with another team next year. Regarding the draft, I hope they don't go out and get a quarterback like Spencer Rattler. I think that just going with what we have with quarterback instead of trying to pick a non-superstar. And the big vision might be if next year is a big disappointment, then we may have the top pick in the draft, and there's a young guy from New Orleans, from Texas now, named Arch, who might be the savior.
There's big cheers from Charlie in the control room coming with the notion of Arch coming to New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a weird way for that marriage to end. I'm not against the Saints drafting a quarterback. I was not against them drafting a quarterback 2 hours ago. I'm not against them drafting a quarterback.
But this doesn't guarantee anything.
But
is what you're
I don't think
is.
You need to reach in the first round to go get a quarterback because suddenly you're like, well, we might need to start a guy. Because I agree. I think one way or another, if you draft a guy this season, it's not. I don't want him to have to be that week one starter. Now, if he shows up in camp, if you draft a guy, he shows up in camp and he is just head and shoulders above anyone else there, and you have to and you start him. The same way, you know, for example, Russell Wilson won the job in Seattle. You know, like he was a third-round pick. They had signed Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn was the starter. Russ played better. They started Russ, and he was Russell Wilson. That can happen. Now, it doesn't happen often. It can happen. I still think you're going to end up rolling with a guy like Spencer Rattler, and we'll see. But, if you were of the hope that the Saints would move on from Derek Carr and just roll with the Rattler show, you know, this is probably, as the caller pointed out, this is probably greasing the skids to that direction.
What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, we'll get into a little NFL draft talk. Nick Baumgartner, senior writer and NFL draft analyst at The Athletic, will join us as we get ready for the NFL draft just 13 days away. Big news right now we've been talking about, folks. Details saying from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network that Derek Carr, Saints starting quarterback, dealing with a shoulder injury and the status for the start of the season uncertain as he's considering surgery. Hoo-wee! It's a spicy Friday right here on WWL. Be back with more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we're 13 days away from the start of the NFL Draft. Happy to welcome in Nick Baumgartner, senior writer, NFL Draft analyst at The Athletic, helping us break it all down. Nick, how's your Friday going, man? Thank you for the time.
Great. How are you?
Doing great. We as we started the show, the Ian Rapoport NFL Network bomb came out. The news about Derek Carr possibly not being ready for the start of the season for the Saints, dealing with a shoulder injury. We kind of, me and my co-host here, batted back and forth. Don't really think that changes too much with them, with their draft status of a quarterback. If they were going to get one or go after one in the first round, it doesn't. They're still going to do that. If it is a guy like Shedeur Sanders, do you think he will be around at number nine? Because I have questions about him even lasting that long.
Yeah, I do. I do think it's very possible. You know, we'll see how it all goes. You know, it's hard to say because I think a lot of teams are really torn on this. And you hear everybody you ask just says nothing would surprise me, right, is what the answer usually is. So I think that there's still some interest there for him in the top three. But at the end of the day, I think both Cleveland and New York are in situations where I'm not sure they can afford to roll the dice on a guy. And I like Shedeur. I don't think he's at the caliber of where Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Drake May were last year. I don't think Cam Ward is either, actually. But I think Ward is better. I like Shedeur. I worry about him going to a team that is really bad and is going to ask him to do a lot with a little, because I'm not sure if he's ready to handle that. However, I do think if he slides, then, you know, a team like New Orleans, I've thought about that for a while, like that, even if Carr were to be healthy or whatever for the year, I don't hate the idea of Shedeur not having, you know, so much pressure on him coming right out of the chute like that. You know, and if you put him around better players, you put him on a more stable team. Like, I really like what Denver was able to do with Bo Nix last year, and Shedeur reminds me an awful lot of Bo Nix in a lot of areas. I think he's a smart player. Really calm. He picks things up really quick. Does need to fix a lot, but I think he can. And I also think that some of that gets easier when you have better players around you. So I think he can fall, or I think he could fall. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not sure how far it's going to go, though, because I feel like teams like New Orleans or, you know, even if like Pittsburgh wanted to move up and do something there, I would love that fit, too. I think those are better fits for him than the Giants or the Browns would be. I feel like that'd be too much pressure on a guy who needs a lot of work yet.
Yeah, Nick, I do feel like there's three quarterbacks we hear about in this draft. You have Cam Ward, you have Jackson Dart, and you have Shedeur Sanders. But there are a lot of quarterbacks that I find intriguing. Are there any names maybe the round 2-3 range that stand out to you, whether it be, you know, a Quinn Ewer or someone in that range?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why this is an interesting class. It's not a bad quarterback class. It's just not an elite one. You know, there isn't an elite, you know, prospect, as we'd say. There's a lot of guys who could get there. You know, we talked about those guys at the top. You mentioned Jackson Dart. Another one would be Tyler Shuck from Louisville, who's a little bit older, but a much better athlete than people realize, with a really good arm. Doesn't have as much experience as some of the other guys, but when you go watch the tape from last year, the work he did with Jeff Brohm was really, really special. So I think he's a nice player, was really good at the Senior Bowl as well. So he's a guy that could be there for one of those teams at the top of the second. Same thing with Jalen Milroe from Alabama. You know, I'm not sure Milroe's ready to go as a starting quarterback right away, but I think in time, if you could give him a breather, you could have, you know, kind of a souped up Jalen Hurts possibly on your hands, faster, more explosive, and frankly, a guy in Milroe that you could probably use in your run game right away if you needed to. And then you mentioned, you know, Quinn Ewers. I think he's probably a top 100 player when all said and done. You know, a lot of people picked at him, but I think a lot of that came from they've seen him a lot, you know, and that happens. When we see a guy start for three full seasons, you start to nitpick at every single thing he can do. But when you pull it all back, I mean, when Ewers is healthy, his arm is about as good as anything you'll see in this class. I also would say the same thing about Kyle McCord at Syracuse. When he is right and when everything's on the money, I mean, he can really spin it. Both those guys can. So I think that there are, you know, 5-6 quarterbacks in this class that are worth, you know, taking a ride with. It's just, you know, it depends on what you need, how fast you need it, and how much you're going to put on top of the guy. Because as we've seen in recent years with Bryce Young, with Anthony Richardson, if you do this too fast and put too much on a guy, you run the risk of really messing things up. So, you know, hopefully these guys land in places that are better fits.
looking at that Saints pick at number 9 overall in that first round, do you have like a cone of players that you think will be available for him? Because, man, oh, man, there's the mock drafts have definitely been all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird class because it's really hard to stack. There's just no consensus anywhere you look around the league right now on, you know, who will go where, who's ranked what. I think this is a pretty low number. It's going to be a low number of consensus first round grades from a lot of teams. You know, I don't think there's going to be too many more than a dozen. But that, you know, for the Saints, I think that that's kind of the interesting part for them. They could use, you know, several different things. I mean, you know, a guy like Shamar Stewart could interest them, you know, there at if he slides down at all. Tet McMillan, the big receiver from Arizona. I mean, he's one that I've looked at a couple times for them. And also both the tight ends, Tyler Warren from Penn State, who's an outstanding blocker and, you know, was just super productive there. And Colson Loveland from Michigan, who I don't think gets as much love, but I think Loveland is right there with Warren as a potential top 10 player in this class. And any of those guys, I feel like Stewart might take a little bit more time, but the rest of those guys, I feel like, would be instant impact players, you know, at a spot of need for New Orleans. So I kind of think New Orleans is in a good spot here. I think they're going to get a good player. It's just, I don't know what the best one will be that falls, because it's going to be a weird, you know, a weird stack here. It's not going to go the way everybody thinks it's going to go. And really there is no way everybody thinks it's going to go. So I think that they're going to have a lot of options and there'll be a good player still for them there at 9.
What are your thoughts on Shamar Stewart? Cause you know, as a Saints, in Saints universe, it's like, oh, a not that productive defensive end that is a kind of a project. It raises some red flags around these parts. And you look at, okay, 1.5 sack each of the last 3 seasons, but he's so traitsy. He has all of this potential. Then I would look over at a guy like Donovan Azaraku, who, you know, has all of the production in the world, but it feels like, okay, he's at Boston College, so he kind of gets overlooked. You know, where do you see the potential for Shamar?
Stewart's flashes are, you know, out of this world good, as the combine showed us. But, you know, on tape, the same thing sort of happens. It's just, you know, it's not consistent. I do think that if you're, you know, he reminds me a lot of Trayvon Walker when Trayvon Walker came out. And, you know, Trayvon Walker's been playing much better. He was much better last year, was a little bit better the second year, but he needed some time to get there. And he eventually did get there because he's a phenomenal athlete. And I feel like something similar could happen here because Stewart played in a really deep rotation at Texas A&M. Nick Scowerton's another top 50 player that was there that didn't have great numbers because they rotated so much. But, you know, other guys do that too and find a way home. So there is something to the fact that, you know, you could be looking at a guy who needs some time. You know, how much time is the big question, you know, with guys that are that athletic. I mean, sometimes it takes a month, sometimes it takes a year, you know, and sometimes they surprise you. You know, guys that are that athletic and have that many traits, if you just cut them loose and say, hey, man, you're our guy, and this is the first time we've ever really said that for you in your career, and you're 21 and a half years old, whatever it is for Shamar, then he could surprise people and really be a special player. But he is a very difficult one to peg because, you know, you could see just about every team in the top 10 being like, yeah, we like everything this guy does, but we don't know, you know, about the production. So you could also see him sliding, you know, into the teens possibly too. So he's a really hard one to peg. And I totally hear you about, you know, if you're in New Orleans and you've seen that before, it's like, do we really want to go down this road again? So you really need to be sure, you know, I think up there before you make that one.
When you look at the top players in this draft, we talked about a little bit earlier the fact that not that impressed with a guy like Cam Ward. He's expected to go number one. After that, do you have a guy in this draft that you feel is a surefire NFL legit, you know, all pro? Is it an Abdul Carter? Is it Travis Hunter?
Yeah, Travis Hunter for sure. I mean, he's fantastic. I think Travis Hunter is the number one player in this class with a bullet. I don't think it's close, quite honestly. And I think he is very special. I think he'll live up to the hype, in my opinion. I mean, this guy, I can't compare him to really anybody because we've never really seen anything like this. You know, a guy that handled that much workload mentally and physically, right, to be able to do all that stuff at the highest level. I mean, he would be, if he said tomorrow or if he said 6 months ago, I'm just a receiver, he would have been the top receiver in this class. If he said 6 months ago, I'm just a corner, he would have been the top corner. You know what I mean? And it's either spot. And I don't know, you know, what the two-way situation will be for him in the league, but I do think it's possible that down the road you could get considerable both sides of the ball action out of him, you know, even if it's like not in the same game, but, you know, a couple times in the same season, you flip him back and forth. I think he's smart enough to handle that, plays with a lot of poise, no fear, will have, you know, if he's a defensive back, he'll have the best ball skills of any corner in football, in the NFL, right away, period. Like, that's how good and special he is. Like, he gives off, in coverage anyway, some, you know, Charles Woodson-level vibes with some of his stuff out there, as much ground as he covers and everything else. So I'm a huge Travis Hunter fan, have been since he started out there at Jackson State. I mean, he's just been a terrific player. Has lived up to it every time he's been, you know, is challenged, and I don't see that stopping. I think he's going to be really good. Abdul Carter, if he's healthy, I think also was going to be a really good player. And then another guy I'd throw in there would be Mason Graham, the defensive tackle for Michigan. I think he's a really, really clean player, one of the more high floor guys in the class.
Yeah, I mean, similar question, just in terms of, you know, talent versus you know, kind of positional value, and it's Ashton Jeanty. Are you team top 10 running back, or are you team never top 10 running back? Because I feel like that's kind of the cutoff.
Yeah, I'm team top 10 running back when it's worth it, and this one is worth it. And I think that that's a hard thing for people to, you know, that don't watch this stuff every day, and I understand it, for people to sort of understand, well, what does that mean? Like, what's it mean when a guy's worth it or he's not worth it? You know, we saw this a couple years ago with Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. To me, a guy who's worth it is a guy who produces at that level, answers every call, and is a guy that you can put on the field in any situation and he will deliver. Like, Jeanty is a guy that can run inside gap stuff, and, you know, his contact balance and vision is going to show up, and he's going to be able to grind for you. He can stretch and get outside and cut. He's terrific out of the backfield with his hands. He could also just walk out into the slot and run routes against defensive backs, and I think he could still get open. Like, he is that special of an athlete. Like, he reminds everybody that you talk to, for the most part, it's LaDainian Tomlinson is what he reminds so many people of. And, like, that's the similar build, the way they move, the way the vision, the contact balance, and then every single thing that they can do for you in terms of pass pro, catching the ball in the backfield. You just don't ever have to take this guy out of the game. You know, you're not going to want to grind him into powder or whatever, but the idea is that you don't have to take him out of the game. You don't have to tip your hand with what you're doing. Like, here's our power back, here's our speed back. This guy's both. So I think he's legitimate, and I think that he's a guy that, you know, he's worth a top 10 pick, and I'd be a little surprised if he falls out of the top 10 this year.
Nick, definitely thank you for stopping by today. Appreciate the time on a Friday. Have a good one, man.
Absolutely. You guys too. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Nick Baumgartner, senior writer, NFL draft analyst at The Athletic. You can follow him on X at Nick Baumgartner. That's NickBaumgardner. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get into some of the Masters leaderboard when we return, as we head to the top of the hour news break right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Giving a really quick Masters leaderboard update. We got Justin Rose sitting atop the leaderboard for a second straight day. He's -8 right now. Stroke behind him, Bryson DeChambeau. And then two strokes behind that, we got a little bit of a pack of guys with Rory McIlroy, Corey Connors, Scottie Scheffler, Tyrell Hatton, and that will conclude this second day of action as we roll into day 3 of Masters. Still some guys out on the course, though, right now. I'll be definitely keeping an eye on that. Even though it's gorgeous out, it's hard to stay away from that Masters coverage. But man, oh man, the sports day today, you know, we got a big bomb dropped on us with the latest news with Derek Carr. Still waiting to find out more about it. We'll get into a little bit more of the discussion next hour. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, will join us right at the top. And then we're going to be heading into LSU baseball, starting a series at Auburn. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. Next up, we got WWL First News, and then we'll have a short segment with Sports Talk coming right back after this. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you are enjoying your Friday.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student-athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk and into our triple option feature, kind of a round table discussion we're going to have as the news of Derek Carr dealing with a shoulder injury that could threaten his availability for the 2025 season. He's currently reportedly exploring options with include surgery. Don't know too many details, though, right now, and potentially how serious this injury is. To help us talk about it, though, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, joins us here on Sports Talk. How's it going this Friday, Bobby?
All right, Steve and Jeff, I guess when it rains, it pours. It's not raining. It's a beautiful day. We've got a lot going on this weekend. But this is terrible news. I mean, especially if you want it to be representable next year, as far as, I'm not saying being a playoff team, but I don't know. Right now, for sure we got to get a quarterback now. But you can't reach. You cannot go and just make something out of nothing as far as, how do you have the quarterbacks graded? And, well, we're going to go with Spencer Rattler. Or what approach? It might be that almost you play out the season next year, unless you think you have the quarterback of the future, and then I would think you'd bring some stability, though, still with a veteran. Like the Andy Dalton type, right. Like Joe Flacco or somebody like that. But there is a great opportunity with Spencer Rattler, I guess, to show the Saints what he could do if he'd be the guy. But if it's, you hear rumors, if it's season ending, it has to be his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder, not his left shoulder, because that wouldn't be season ending. So, this is bad news for the Houdat Nation and for the Saints to have invested all that money in him. It must have, there's no way he would have passed a physical if he was hurt. They wouldn't have paid him all that money. So, I was talking with Charlie. It must have recently just happened where all of a sudden surgery might be an option.
Right.
And then, therefore, you're going to play next year. And it might be like, oh, well, we play next year, but we're really looking forward to the 2026 season. No, this is not good. I'm not saying Derek Carr would have worked magic and all of a sudden, win the Super Bowl hunt.
No, but you always say he gives you the chance to win.
Well, the only games we won is when he played. Spencer Rattler, I haven't even won a game.
Yeah, Bobby, my question would be, what would your preference be if Derek did not play? Would you like to see them draft a guy, start a rookie, go to Spencer, go sign a veteran and start that guy? What would your primary course be if you were making those decisions?
I would give Spencer Rattler every opportunity, and I would bring in a veteran. I wouldn't necessarily reach for a quarterback with the number 9 pick. Now, If you can work something out, trade, that's up to Mickey Loomis and all, and Jackson Dart and, Shedeur Sanders. I just don't think they're worthy of a number nine pick. Whether that be later first round or when the Saints would pick in the second round, then let them battle it out. Then you'd have Jackson Dart, Spencer Rattler, whoever it might be, or Shedeur. But as far as we have too many holes right now. I look at the supporting cast. None of these quarterbacks are necessarily going to make the players better around them. I think and there's a number of quarterbacks like this in the NFL. You got to have a supporting cast for them to ultimately have success. There's only, a handful that are truly like the difference franchise, the difference-making quarterbacks. And so I just don't think it's in this draft. And they're not going to move up to get Cam Ward.
Right.
Cam Ward would be the only one that I think would maybe be in that category. Like, for instance, if Shedeur and Jackson Dart, if they came out in last year's draft, I think Charlie and I was talking about this, and Mike, that like Cam Ward, he wouldn't be the number one overall pick. He'd be like four, maybe the fourth or fifth guy. And then, I don't know. You look at Shedeur, he'd be kind of like Bo Nix. But if you really like him, look, Sean Payton really liked Bo Nix. And, so you look at that 10, 11, 12 pick around there, if you sold on him. But I just don't view Shedeur. The one thing I like about Shedeur, he's accurate with the football. And you can't coach accuracy, but a lot of times he takes too many sacks. And how he processes stuff, I just don't think he's a slam dunk for sure franchise quarterback. And I think Jackson Dart has just as good of an opportunity as Shedeur to have success in the NFL, but it could be a starter. I don't view them like a Jaden Daniels.
If like you were the Saints, would you be calling up Aaron Rodgers' agent right now?
Ooh.
That's a good question, Jeff. That is because I can tell you right now, whether any young guy you would draft or Spencer Rattler, Aaron Rodgers would give us the best chance to win. Kind of like Derek Carr. I don't know, are you going to win something? I'm just saying how he can spin it, and I still think what he still has maybe, left in the tank. That I know Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest football throwers, passers of all time in NFL history. And I looked at a lot of part of the season, he was still making some throws that can hang with the youngsters. So, but that'd be a short-term thing. Even if they would draft like a guy like Shedeur and Derek Carr is available to play, it'd be almost like a redshirt year for him. And then, if you really believe in him that much, he'd be the guy in 26. But this does not bode well, I think, for the Saints in this upcoming season, as far as expectations.
Bobby, if it's not that quarterback with pick number 9 overall, where are you looking? Is it in the trenches, O-line, D-line, or do you like, the Penn State tight end or, Tet McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona?
I like it all. whoever we pick at number 9, we ain't developing them. They got to play. It has to be like Fuaga. Fuaga, it was good and very good at times. I don't say he was, like, outstanding great, but I think potentially he's going to be on that level. We need somebody to play right away and to answer the bell and be available, game in and game out. But I don't know. Kind of like Charlie. I was talking with Charlie about this when I came cut some commercials for FanDuel. The linebacker from the Georgia Bulldogs, the hybrid guy, if they're going with a 3-4, because he can get after the quarterback and be in coverage. His name's slipping my mind.
Walker.
Help me out. Yeah. That guy, I think if he's at number 9, I wouldn't worry about this year. I would take him over a quarterback and then address the quarterback situation next year. And who knows, we might get a better draft pick considering where we might be drafting and the quarterback's available. Instead of picking 9, it might be top 5. So, I don't know.
Definitely appreciate you giving us some time this Friday, Bobby, when the news came out. Thanks for stopping by and be talking to you soon. Enjoy the weekend, man.
Yeah, beautiful weather. And, before you know it, the draft's going to be here, and that's always a fun time. So you and Jeff, I'll talk to you all later.
Appreciate it. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, joining us there, sounding off on the latest news. Derek Carr's status for the season reportedly in question. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, first to come out with the news dealing with a shoulder injury. We don't know if it's the throwing shoulder, non-throwing shoulder. We're speculating right now that it would be something with his throwing shoulder if it's threatening his season and possibly requiring surgery. We're getting ready for LSU baseball here, so taking a break. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Going to get right into our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Folks wanting to sound off about Derek Carr. Marty and Mobile, you are up. What you got for us this Friday?
Hey, good evening. I just want to ask a question. This news about Bobby, Derek Carr is very interesting. But I just want to know, what does this mean to us cap-wise and with all that money we're paying him? If he's not playing, is he just going to get paid?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, now there could be some outs based on what the injury is, you know, if it was non-football related, if it happened like skiing or something like that. Like there could be some outs. It's very unlikely. It's probably something lingering from a prior injury. I don't know. But most likely what's going to happen is the Saints are on the hook for the full contract this year. They restructured that deal fully. So, for example, if they did cut him this year, they would do it as a post-June 1 cut. They would be on the hook for the $20 million they were already on the hook for this year, and then they would be on the hook for $59 million in dead cap next season. And we're all just assuming he's not going to play. Like, this could come out and he could be, okay, I'm ready. So that's all kind of part of the conversation. It's just the rabbit hole we're going down right now is a very morbid one. If they waited until next year, made him a post-June 1 released next year, then you would be talking, let's see, I have it right here, if I can click the right button, then you would be talking $19 million in 2026 against the cap and $40 million in 2027 against the cap. That's just the reality the Saints find themselves in. They're paying Derek Carr, right? Whether he's healthy or not, they're paying him. That contract is essentially, at this point, fully guaranteed.
Well, you mentioned this while we were in break, and I think you tweeted it out as well. This is nuts, man. We're considering, too, the injury history. Derek Carr was pretty healthy during his time with the Raiders, and since coming here, sadly, it has not been the case.
No, he's been as durable as anybody. He missed 4 games in 9 years with the Raiders, and you know, now you're just talking about injury. Problem for the Saints is they're not built to tank, right? So it's not like you can just easily just shift to, like, all these veteran players. Yeah, we're not trying to win anymore. You know who's going to be funny to talk about this whole process? Kirk Cousins.
Interesting. Yeah, we didn't even bring
him up. As we have 30 seconds left.
Could he end up going from Atlanta to the Saints? A vice versa of Bobby Hebert.
I'm just saying.
Want to thanks everyone for tuning in. We're getting ready for LSU baseball at Oklahoma. They're taking on Auburn, not Oklahoma. They're on the Plains. That's a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch, game one. We'll have that all weekend for you, so keep it locked right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Have a great night, folks.